Patrick, for being with us this morning, sharing your testimony of what God is doing with folks who are kind of left behind in many cases in these places. But thank you that you go there and minister to them and take the love of Christ, the message of the gospel. If you have your scriptures this morning, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 16? We were here last week in Acts chapter 16. I'm going to go back again and take another look at this passage, because what we're doing is we're looking at the background of the church of Philippi, because we're going to be doing a series of messages through the letter to the Philippians. And the Philippians were those people who were in this church in Philippi, but we wanted to go to the book of Acts and find out how the church got started, a little bit about the people and the situation, which will help us then as we go through the letter of Philippians to understand it more effectively. I think it'll be a blessing as we look at the book. We can go back and remember some of the things that took place here as the church was founded. So Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 13 through 15, are the only verses we'll look at this morning. The scripture says, "And on the Sabbath we went out by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us," and then dropped down to verse 40. "And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." Would you join with me in prayer? Father, as we consider this passage this morning, we ask that the Holy Spirit would be our guide and our teacher, give us understanding, insight. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story of this woman who came to faith in the Lord Jesus. And we pray now that you would bless this word to us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that Lord, you would open their heart and they, like Lydia, would come to attend to the things that were spoken from your word. And so we thank you for the privilege to be together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word. Bless now it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at the first few verses of chapter 16 and in Acts chapter 13, where the Holy Spirit sent out Paul and Barnabas to this particular ministry of establishing churches. And one of those churches is the church in Philippi. And we see how that Paul obeyed the Lord, even though he had his own plan while he was in Macedonia, or while he was in Asia. He had his own plan to go north to Bithynia and to Galatia and those areas. The Holy Spirit said, "No, I don't want you to go there now. I have another plan." And so God then changed his mind through this vision we see. And that vision was a vision in which a man said to him, "Please come over to Macedonia and help us." And so, realizing that that had come from the Lord, verse 10 of chapter 16, he said, "After we'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia," which is modern-day Greece. And he said, "Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them." Paul was a gospel preacher. Paul believed that his mission in life was to preach the gospel. He wasn't there to do social reform. He wasn't there to teach people how to do anything else, although those things may be important. But he was there to preach the gospel. And so he says in verse 11, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came unto a straight course, and next day to Neapolis. And from there we came to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were there in that city abiding certain days." And so that brings us now, Paul has left the continent of Asia and crossed the waters, and now he's in the continent of Europe and what is now known as Greece. And there he went to this leading city of Philippi, and there God was going to do something special in that city. And there are three people that we're going to look at, not three this morning, just one. Three people that came to the Lord, as far as we know, in the city of Philippi. And it appears or seems to me that those three people were the charter members of this church in Philippi. The first of those was a lady named Lydia. So let's take a look at Lydia, verses 13 through 15. Paul tells us, and Luke writes, that on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women who were resorted thither, who'd gathered together there. And he identifies this person, this woman named Lydia. So why did Paul then on the Sabbath day go to the river? Why didn't he go to the synagogue like was his usual custom? He often, when he went to these major cities, looked for the synagogue where he would go preach to the Jews, because Paul's call, according to God, was to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So why didn't he go to the synagogue? Well, the answer is simple. There was no synagogue. It took 10 adult Jewish men to establish a synagogue. So obviously there weren't a lot of Jews or a lot of Jewish men in the city of Philippi to establish a synagogue. So Paul instead went to the river, because the Jews often met by the river so they'd have running water to cleanse their hands and do the washings that they needed to do in their time of prayer. And so here we see in verse 13 that it was on the Sabbath, that the Sabbath was a Saturday, and the Jews worshiped on the Sabbath. And so Paul knew that down by the river, probably there would be a gathering of people who were worshiping the Lord. And it says here they were praying. They were down there, this group of women. And one of those women was identified here as a lady named Lydia. What do we know about Lydia? Well, let's look and see. He says here, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. And of course, all you have to do is you look up in your Bible dictionary, your commentary, and you find out a seller of purple was a person who sold this special fabric that was dyed purple. It was very expensive. It was very well made. And so that was her business. So we find out about Lydia that she was a professional woman. She was a seller of purple. She had her own business, probably. And she had come from a city called Thyatira, which was over in Asia, where Paul just left. Paul had been through that region. And so God was leading Paul so that he could come to Philippi to meet with Lydia, who also came to Philippi. Gee, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. How lucky that all of this worked out. But it wasn't luck and it wasn't coincidence, was it? What was it? God's plan. Isn't that wonderful? And every one of us here this morning that are saved, and I hope that's all of us, God had a plan for somebody to come from Asia Minor to Philippi where we were. And we heard the gospel. And we'll see in just a minute what happened as a result of that. See, it's no accident that we're saved. It's part of God's plan. God wants to save people. And you and I are here this morning because God saved us. It is all of Him. It's not of us. We weren't looking for God, at least I wasn't. We weren't searching after God. God was searching after us, and He found us. Hallelujah. He found us. She was a professional woman. And in terms of the social scale, she probably was high up on the social scale. I mean, she was a businesswoman, a professional woman, probably successful. She's probably in Philippi, doing some more business. And so God reached down to this professional woman and brought her to salvation. The other two people that we'll look at are different in their social status. The girl that we'll look at next week, who was a slave of some men who kind of owned her and used her, she was able to tell the future and do soothsaying and that sort of thing. She was demon-possessed. They used her to make money off of her. And so if you look at Lydia, she's on the higher strata. If you look at this poor slave girl, she's at the bottom. And then we look at the Philippian jailer, who probably was a retired military guy who was hired by the government to take care of this prison. He probably was kind of in the middle. So what does that tell us about God? God loves everybody at any status, any level, whether you're professional, whether you're work for the government, God help us in that regard, or whether you're just down and out. God loves all sinners. And by the way, all of these people were sinners. It wasn't just this slave girl that was a sinner. It was the Roman guard, it was Lydia, and it was other people in that city. God loves sinners. That's why Jesus came, to die for sinners. And that's us. She was a professional lady, but she was also, the Bible tells us here, what we call a proselyte. That is, she was interested in the God of Israel. She may have been probably was a Gentile, but she had an interest. Notice what the scripture says, a seller of purple, a city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. She was worshiping God, the God of Israel. She wasn't worshiping some idol. And there were many idols to worship in the Roman Empire and in the Greek Empire in the Roman time. Many, many idols, many, many gods. But here we see that she was a worshiper of God. You remember the man named Cornelius? Acts chapter 10, the man Cornelius, he was a soldier. He was a Gentile. And the Bible says he feared God. He loved God. He had a heart for God. And God sent Peter into his life to show him the Lord Jesus Christ so he could be saved. Well, guess what God did for Lydia? He sent Paul into her life so she could come to Christ. You know, if there are people out there in our lives who have a hunger for God and God has put that in their soul, God's going to make sure somebody comes by and will give them the gospel. And you know what? That person may be you. It could be you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If God used you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone whose heart he'd prepared, and that person would come to Christ and be saved, and you could have a joy of having your own spiritual baby, your own little one that you could nurture and bring up for the glory of God. She was a follower of the God of Israel. And by the way, that was God's intent for Israel. He told us in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6 that he wanted his people Israel, he had chosen them to be a light for the Gentiles. But they didn't do a very good job, did they? They became proud and arrogant about Abraham, their father, and they put the emphasis on their physical relationship and the fact that they were the chosen people of God, and they were proud and arrogant, and they didn't let their light shine to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, they considered the Gentiles to be a bunch of pagans and idolaters and dogs and worthless, and they didn't want anything to do with them. And God's intent was that they would let their light shine, that people would see him, and that they would come to know him. And that's true for us. We're not any better than anyone else. We're not any better than the Syrian refugees when it comes to our salvation, are we? We need to be saved. And thank God, you know, Jesus saves us. And so God loves every sinner. And I think I mentioned this Wednesday night. I was talking to a friend of mine in Stuttgart, Germany, the church where we were. And he said they have just recently started visiting the camp there that has Syrian refugees in it. There are 800 families in this camp in around Stuttgart. And he and a couple of his friends, he's an elder in a church there, they're going to this refugee camp, and they're going there for the purpose of bringing the gospel to these lost people. God has brought them from Syria and other places and put them in Stuttgart where Christians can get to them now and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And so she was a professional woman. She was a proselyte. But notice the place and timing of all this. As I said earlier, no, there was no synagogue, so these ladies were down at the river praying, and God then sent Paul and Silas and others on his team. Instead of going where they thought they should go, he sends them there because he had a plan and he had a purpose to reach this lady with the gospel. Kind of reminds me of a couple of other illustrations. Remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was up in Samaria preaching the gospel, having great success. And God picked him up and took him down into the desert place on a road in the desert south of Jerusalem. And the reason that God put him in that place was because there was another man who was traveling in a chariot with his entourage named Ethiopian eunuch, setting back to Africa. And so here's this man in his chariot riding along, and all of a sudden God brings this evangelist from Samaria, and they interdict just like God planned. And the guy's reading the book of Isaiah, but he's not understanding. So Philip walks up to the chariot and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the guy says, "No, who's this talking about here?" And then the Bible says that Philip got up into the chariot, sat down next to him, and began to explain to him about Jesus Christ being the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Who's he talking about there, he asked. And the Bible says, and he preached unto him, who? Jesus. Was that an accident? No. God had a plan to interdict the life of that Ethiopian eunuch so that he could hear the gospel and be saved. God had a plan also for Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, and he said, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And what did Jesus say? Well, thank you, Nicodemus. I appreciate those good words. You know, you're right, and I'm glad that you're a religious man and that you're devout. No, Jesus didn't say that at all. He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That wasn't very nice of Jesus. He should have said something nice to this man. But he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus then became a believer. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a lady at the well there that went to get water at the time of drawing the water. It was common for ladies to get the water. And so she was there at this well. And Jesus arrived there with his disciples. And he sat down and he began to talk to this lady. And it wasn't long until he pointed out to her that she was a sinner and she needed to be saved. She needed the Messiah. And she came to the Lord. That was no accident. That was on purpose. God's plan to reach people who are lost. And here we see the same thing that God sent Paul and his fellow workers to reach this woman. And so he had this personal conversation with her, we see, in verses 14 and 15. She worshiped God, and the Bible says that God had opened her heart, and she attended to the things that were spoken of by Paul. She listened. She paid attention. God was at work. Paul didn't have to convince her. Paul didn't have to trick her. Paul didn't have to come up with some game plan. He just presented the gospel, and God was working in her heart to open her heart to the things of God. Paul was responsible to communicate the truth. That's all we're responsible to do, isn't it? We can't save people. We can't make them make a decision. We can't convict them. That's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit has to do that. Our responsibility is to communicate God's truth to people. Amen. Now, we might do it with tears. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go out and communicate the truth hard and factual. No, we do it with compassion and love because we realize people need the gospel. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, he said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts. Paul was aware that he'd been given a great responsibility. He was allowed of God, chosen by God, selected by God to be a communicator of the gospel because it was the most important thing that God wanted him to do, and that is to take the gospel to lost people. It was by conversation we see here. It says here that he sat down and he began to speak unto her. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't proclaiming, the message like I am here this morning. He wasn't standing in a pulpit. He's probably sitting down on a rock somewhere. And these ladies were gathered around. He may have been standing. I don't know. But he was just speaking to them, conversing with them. And we mentioned this last Sunday, that any of us can have a conversation, can't we? And we have conversations all day long. Sometimes God places a person in our path that we need to have a conversation with that person about spiritual things, about eternity. Amen. And it may be, as I said earlier, that you would be the person that God would choose, even though you're not the Apostle Paul and you're not this evangelist, you're just a normal person. Normal people do super normal things with the power of God, don't they? And so the gospel was communicated faithfully by the Apostle Paul, but it was God who opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart so that she would hear. It's the same word used in Luke 24, verse 45, where Jesus was speaking with his disciples after his resurrection. And the scripture says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds. I've had the joy of witnessing to people, as perhaps you have, and you open up the Bible and you begin to explain God's salvation to them, and you can just see the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and you can see the lights coming on as they begin to understand the gospel, as they begin to understand that they're not saved by trying to be a good person or do good works or join the church or even be baptized. They're saved by faith in Christ alone. And some people have never heard that message. Some people in America have never heard the message of the gospel. They've heard about church attendance, and they've heard about, you know, doing good works, and they've heard about all of these things, but they've never really heard the simple plan that God has for people to be saved. And you and I know what that is. And so here, the heart was opened by God. And we understand the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The devil blinds people's eyes to the truth. And as only God can take those blinders away, and he does it through the word of God, the truth of the Bible, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, he convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then we're told here in verse 14, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That is, she heard, she listened, she believed and received. Just like the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, the power to become the sons of God. It's receiving Christ, believing in him and receiving him is where our salvation is. And she came because she heard the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Paul said in Romans 10:13. So what happened then? Well, in verse 15, she was baptized. Notice the order. She believed, then she was baptized. That's the way it works in the New Testament. Now, I've talked to people over the years who were baptized as babies and, as infants. And of course, they don't know anything about it because their parents had that done for them. And I don't condemn people for being baptized as a baby, but I'll tell you what, baptism doesn't save you. Sure. Baptism won't save you. It's believing in Christ. Then baptism has its proper place. And so if some people are sort of depending upon their infant baptism to get them to heaven, they're mistaken. It is not going to happen. The baptism must follow belief, conversion, receiving Christ. And some people don't like that, and they want to hang on to their infant baptism. They want to defend the fact that, well, I was baptized as a baby, and then I was confirmed in the church, and, you know, I'm a Christian too because I went through all of those procedures. Well, if you haven't been born again going through those procedures, you're not on your way to heaven. It's got to be faith and trust in Christ alone. And even some Baptists aren't saved, because they're thinking that they walked the aisle and they shook the preacher's hand and that was all it took. No, it's not. That doesn't do it. It's personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's attending unto the things that were spoken, the word of God. And so what happened to her? She was baptized. And then it says here, she and her whole household were baptized. That is, Paul must have explained the gospel to all of those of her household as well, because we already know that first of all, you have to be saved and then you're baptized. So we know that there weren't people in her household who were baptized but not saved. You follow me? They had to make their personal commitment to Jesus as well. But what a wonderful thing that the whole household came to Christ. And then she said finally, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And then Luke adds his comment, and she constrained us. She was a businesswoman, right? She wouldn't take no for an answer. She constrained. Come on, you got to come to my house. No, we don't want to bother. No, you got to come to my house. Come on, I got plenty of room. And so finally they went. And the reason she invited them was because God had changed her heart. That was an evidence of the new birth. Working for God, having a love for God, having a desire for the things of God, wanting to do the works that God wants us to do, come as a result of our salvation. They don't save us. But they have to be there, don't they? There has to be that evidence that we want to follow the Lord and that we want to do what is possible to glorify him and to honor him. And then you notice in verse 40 that I read, Scripture says, and they went out of prison, that is Paul and Silas, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now, I don't want to read too much into that verse, but obviously they went to Lydia's house. It says that here. And it may have been that it was at Lydia's house where this church was born. And Paul and Silas were there, and whoever these brethren were, her own family, maybe parts of her servants and so on. But there seemed to be a gathering at her house where Paul and Silas went, and they comforted them, they encouraged them, and then they departed. I believe it was in Lydia's house that the church at Philippi began. And it was all part of God's plan. There are many churches in existence today who began in somebody's house. It's not uncommon. A group of people come together. Some others become Christians. They accept Jesus. They get together. They start fellowshipping, maybe praying together in their homes, doing a Bible study sort of thing. And eventually they begin to realize, hey, God has put together a body here, a church. And it wasn't uncommon that through the first century, and even today in some places, there are house churches for people to gather together in homes. What a wonderful story. As God began this church in Philippi, he began with a woman. Paul says here in the scriptures, or Luke says, that there was this man in Macedonia, and he prayed and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And Paul raised up Lydia, and she was saved, and this church was established. God has a plan for all of us. And if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the first plan is to be saved. So let's thank the Lord for Lydia and for this account of Scripture. And we'll continue on next week as we look at this young lady who was a slave and then perhaps the Philippian jailer. Join with me in prayer, please. Father God, we thank you today for this story in the Bible, which we believe is accurate and historical. We thank you for the miracle that took place, Lord, in the life of Lydia. And God, we look to you and give you the praise and honor and glory for what you accomplished. We don't praise Lydia. We don't praise Paul or Silas. But Lord, we realize that you are the author of our salvation. And I thank you for saving those of us here today who know that Jesus has redeemed us and saved us. And Father, again, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus, has not been saved, God, that you would work in that heart and open the heart of that person like you did Lydia, that they might come to know you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning, David. And if you're here and you'd like to make a public profession of faith, you'd like to pray at the altar here, we'd be glad to meet you here at the front as we sing.
Let's do it. Number 306.
Thank you.
sanctuary doesn't stop the invitation of God. And so if he speaks to your heart today and you realize the Lord is speaking to you about something in your life, whether it's salvation or whatever it may be, listen to the Lord and respond to him today. I want to close with a word from the benediction from the book of Hebrews. It says, "Now the God of peace hath brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Have a great day.